He's a dad. He's a designer. He's the guy who can make your house a home. And maybe make your husband a little handier.
No, you're not.
This is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's me, Frank Fontana. We're here till 3 o'clock. We're here every Sunday from 1 to 3. Talking about all things that make your home tick. Issues outside the home and inside the home, on the roof, under the roof, in the basement, and the relationships that happen in between. We're design-centric. That's what we do. As a matter of fact, we have some cool information about the world of design here in Chicago. The COD, the College of DuPage Interior Design Program, receives a huge honor. The College of DuPage in Glen Ellen is one of 10 schools in North America to be recognized as a National Kitchen and Bath Association, as part of the National Kitchen and Bath Association, with the 2015 Excellence in Education Award, which honors NKBA-accredited programs. The COD's interior design program recently received seven-year reaccreditation, which is great, from the NKBA. For the Kitchen and Bath Design Certificate, the award validates their efforts to maintain the high quality of interior design programs they run right now. You know, if you're looking to get into interior design, it's a great school to check out. It's the College of DuPage. And in addition to the Kitchen and Bath Certificate, the Interior Design Program offers an Associate in Applied Science degree, Interior Design and Certificates in Computer Applications like CAD and 3D Max, Lighting and Sustainable Interior Design Services, and an interior an advisory board of industrial professionals like myself ensures the curriculum remains current with emerging trends, industry safety, and building codes, which are really important, and in-demand job skills while providing professional and networking opportunities. So if you're a budding designer or thinking about it or a career change late in life, this would be a great place to check out the College of DuPage. That's one little design nugget. Next, we're talking interior design trends. Stylish buyers are flocking to this fall. We're going to be talking to Nicole Curtis shortly as well about her new book. But it seems to me that airy layouts, floor-to-ceiling windows, are the trend, according to this article from TheObserver.com, talking about high-rise and residential. And very neutral, very modern is what the trend is in the cool. Buyers have moved past showy appliances and fixtures, they say. They want appliances that blend seamlessly into the overall design of the space. For example, the kitchens at 150 Revington used an integrated refrigerator and dishwasher with seamless panels. And it always seems to appear custom, which I think is kind of cool if your place is a little more modern. But if you're into the vintage vibe, that's cool. I mean, our show Downtown Shabby is all about that. We restore vintage homes, but modernize them. A little different from our next guest. You know her as the Rehab Addict. She's an author, TV host, all-around amazing gal, Nicole Curtis. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for joining us this Sunday.
Yes. Well, I kept forgetting what time, so I've already called in 9:10.
Did you? Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? It's just we're getting ready to fly out, and you know when you're, like, scheduled back up, and I'm just always worried that I'm missing something. And I'm like, oh, I forgot.
So, I know. It's crazy. But, Nicole, we love you here in Chicago, and we love your show, Rehab Addict, and your new book. When do you find time to do this? You're a mother. You're a rehabber. You're a TV host. I mean, how does it all work?
I don't sleep. I basically have no social life, and that's it. So I wrote the book in between, you know, baby napping, and I pretty much crammed it into like 9 minutes before I needed to go to the printer, and that's no lie. The publishing world got turned upside down.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They were like, this is not how you do a book. I'm like, this is the only way I can do a book. So I don't know what to tell you.
Right. It's not easy writing a book.
Yeah. No, it's horrific. And especially because the amount of time it takes to do it, your life changes. So your story changes, especially when you're doing a memoir like I did. So it was just constantly, there's so many different versions of the book that even when the final one came out, I'm like, oh, okay. So it's just kind of funny. But
at what point did you decide, all right, I'm going to put the pen down. Like, I can't keep revising this and my life has changed because you recently had a baby.
Well, no, honestly, it was We went to New York to do final edits. That was on a Monday. That turned into a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, Sunday. We were still there. And then the printer was literally like, if I don't have this manuscript today, it's not getting printed. It's going to be like a January delivery. So Jeez. That kind of pushes it a bit. So that's what did it. But trust me, I could have rewrote that book a million more times.
So what are the fans going to expect out of this book?
Well, I would say this. Everyone knows never to ask me for design tips because I'm definitely not going to give those out. And
are they just coveted? Is that why? I mean, why is it?
No, I don't have any. I mean, I really don't think there's ever anything new in design. We all copy it. It's all full circle. And for me, I really look at historic structures and I try to recreate it, you know, and put a little bit of modern spin on it just so that we can have electricity in houses and toilets. Yeah. But, you know, that's about it. So, you know, design-wise, I truly believe that a house should always be an expression of who you are, as long as it's not like a dirty, you know, dirty hoarding, you know, mess. That's never good. But, you know, my houses are very eclectic and they're homey. People come in and I think sometimes they expect, you know, if they don't know me very well, they expect they're coming to like a designer's house. They expect everything so sterile and perfect
right.
and everything. And no, I, you know, I have homes, not houses. So with the book, it is just my story. I think my story has a lot more to offer people than, you know, my work in design. And, you know, I went really from rags to riches. And it's always, you know, one of those moments where I tell people, like, you can do anything you want. I mean, yeah. Trust me, no one said to me, you know what, Nicole Curtis, we think you would be an excellent, you know, thing to do design, and overnight you're going to be successful and you're going to be able to pay your electric bill. It took 20 years to get here. So, you know, it's just sharing those stories so that people realize that it isn't supposed to come fast. And usually things that come fast, you know, if they say about it, I mean, it's not always the best thing. So,
well, it's always fascinating too when people, Nicole, when people hear your story and they're like, wow, you know, you just came up overnight. You know, this was like, you just came out of nowhere. But it's really a 20-year overnight success story.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I take a long time to do anything. But even when we started, you know, basically what I took is all my social media posts, I just took them 10 steps further. You know, people would ask, like, serious questions on social media. And I was like, that's just not the right medium for me to divulge personal details like that. You know, so I wanted to have it in a controlled space to where I knew exactly how it was being, you know, put out there. And also then I didn't have 10,000 people commenting on it every 5 minutes, you know? So,
yeah, oh, I'm with you. And you know, we do have to take a quick break, and I want to talk more about this. We're talking to Nicole Curtis, a host of Rehab Addict and author of the new book, Better Than New. We're going to learn more about who really Nicole is, and because we're not going to learn any design tips, we just found out. So if you're hoping for that, I'd just get offline right now.
Right
out the window. But I do want to talk about it. You know, we do similar stuff in our world, and you know, my world is actually kind of like the opposite of yours, where we take old homes, but we're modernizing based on the requests of the clients, which kills me sometimes because I'm all about what you do. Like, I want to restore the integrity of what existed. But, you know, I want to talk more about that aspect of dealing with people and working in this crazy world of television, reality of homemaking. It's insanity. More with Nicole Curtis right after this break.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
We're architects. I'm a creative player.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Frank Fontana. We're talking design, specifically rehabbing, with Rehab Addict's host, Nicole Curtis, and author of the new book, Better Than New. Don't expect any design advice from Nicole. She doesn't know anything. She just hosts shows and writes books and lives a good life. Nicole, thanks for joining us.
That sounds fabulous, yes.
Actually, I know a lot
about design.
You do.
But I know about historical design and doing right what's right by property. I think that's, you know, that's always been my mission on HGTV and everything else is, you know, people are only going to design what we set an example for them to design. So
right.
For me, it was standing up and being like, I know you want to open up that dining room wall, but let me show you. Let me show you how bad this is going to be for the house and how much you're going to hate it 10 years from now when you're 3-year-olds or 10 and 12 or 15. You're not going to want this open floor plan design.
Right.
And I can say this as experience from a mom, you know, just like when I have somebody say, you know, oh, we want you know, we want these kind of countertops. Or we want this kind of countertop. And I'm like, look at your life. This is not gonna. This is not a good solution right now. You know, all glass, everything, and you have toddlers and dogs. You're gonna be cleaning forever. So that's really how I got started in design. Was I was a house cleaner, and I knew what materials lasted.
Yeah.
What could be cleaned, what was washable, what was easy to maintain, and what looks great for years to come. And I just took it from there.
Nicole, how much do you get, do you deal with clients on a basis? Or, cause I mean, basically...
No,
you,
oh my God, no.
Yeah, that's...
No more personal clients. I will say, you know, I always laugh at people like, I wear running shorts and raggy tennis shoes and drive an old truck. But there's certain things where I'm like, there's a lot of headache, and I had just... pulling your hair out and stuff, working with private clients. I'm going to be honest, I have thought designers that do. I just, I don't really have time for it anymore. And the thing is that I really enjoy doing my own projects. I mean, that's really why I created my business, is that I enjoy working with me. You know, I like working with my crew, and I like having, you know, the creative, you know, there's endless, like, whatever I want to do, I'm going to do, you know. And I used to always laugh. I'd say, you know, somebody would hire you to design something, and then you design it. You spend all these hours on a design, and they're like, "Wow, we don't think this is going to work." Then you sound like the design expert. I'm not really sure why you hired me. So
yeah, it's true. It's a slippery slope, this whole design thing. You know, so for real, like for folks who, you know, are fans of the show, we're talking to Nicole Curtis from Rehab Addict, from HGTV and DIY Network. She has a new book, Better Than New. We're talking about vintage homes and, you know, restoring them back to their former glory. Now, I live in a 105-year-old Victorian home, Nicole. And I've learned to embrace my crooked floors and my 3-inch dip in the left corner of the home. How often do you just leave this stuff and let it go? And
always,
huh?
Yeah, I mean, I live in an old house. I mean, I laughed the other day because my rescue dog, Lucy, did a secret pee in the house. And I'm like, well, you know, which way the floor slopes, don't we?
Yes.
We had a puddle on the other end of the room. But, you know, as long as it's not hazardous and it's not keeping me from living my life, right?
Right.
But I mean, I mean, I'm only 40 years old, and there's facial cracks I have going on, you know, hello. It's kind of the same thing with your house. You have to embrace it. There's things about it, you know, when your woodwork has discoloration or it's darkened or it's, you know, my worst fear is I walk into a house and somebody has, you know, sanded down all the woodwork and like redone it and just kind of taken away the original age of a home. I like to walk in an old house and know I'm in an old house.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it kind of is, it's, you know, people get so antsy, and I'm a real estate agent too. And all my years, I tell people, don't do anything more than like change a paint color in the first 6 months of living in your home. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because it takes you that long to feel it.
Yes.
To know it, to know exactly what you want, you know. And I've had people, you know, you might have this in your house, but have the back servant stairs going into the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And every designer, kitchen designer in the world, you know, or most of them will say, cut this extra doorway off and we can get an extra pantry in your kitchen. So I'll have clients that are like, we don't want these, you know, original stairs anymore. So what I do is I duct tape the opening up, right? Close it off. And I say, you live for 1 week without using the entrance, and you tell me how it goes. And you know how many people like come down the stairs and run into the duct tape because they automatically want, you know, that shortcut to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I've saved so many old kitchens that way. It's just kind of giving them a real life experience with their ideas.
I love that. I love,
you know,
the duct tape trick. I mean, come on.
The open floor plan thing. I grew up in a 1980s tri-level. My mom cursed her open floor plan because she had the informal dining room that opened to the kitchen. And, you know, as we got older, there wasn't any closure. Like, if you cooked a messy dinner and you had guests over, they all saw it. So I learned that growing up. That's why, you know, when people want it now, I'm like, not going to do it.
Well, that's all these people want, though. I mean, honestly, I mean, designing on our show, too, we get into these 100-year-old homes and these younger couples. It's really the younger couples. They see, they watch HGTV. They watch all these design shows, and they going with trend, and to try to talk them off the ledge. And trust me, I do, Nicole. I mean, I'm a preservationist at heart. You know, I did very little to my own 100-year old home. And at times, I feel like when people walk into my house, they, like you, I'm sure, they have that expectation of, oh, my God, this is going to be the most insane home. And then they come in, they're like, oh, this is really homey, and this is really cute and really charming, but never that, grand open feeling because I kept the parlor room. I kept the entry. I kept the nuances of the historic home. But the new generation, not so much. They're pushing for all this modernism.
Well, it's because they're coming out of, I mean, here's the thing. When I was 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, right, I couldn't afford my dream home. I had to go to a starter home, right? Which
yeah.
People have lost the concept of this because interest rates were so high, right?
Right.
So my first interest rate on my first house was 13.75%.
Wow.
So I couldn't afford, you know, these you know, young couples now can afford exactly what they want when they want it, and then they haven't lived enough to have the experience of like, hey, let me just relax a minute and maybe the next house. You know, I remember
exactly.
My first kitchen I was designing, my first house, and I kept saying, I want this, I want that. And I had gone to Home Depot to do the kitchen design, right? So there was all like 20. And this guy looked at me and goes, I'm going to teach you a phrase that's going to save you a lot of money and headache in your years to come. And I said, what's that? And he goes, next house. Do it in the next house. Like, keep in your budget. Keep in mind where you're at. Check yourself. You're 22 years old. You don't need a double oven and all this other stuff. I'm like, wow, okay. And I keep that in mind whenever I'm doing projects, too. It's always got to stay within the value of the home and what's right for the home.
Exactly.
And sometimes, you know, I live out of many homes right now. I have big homes, little homes. And, you know, I know I love my galley kitchen and, like, my one little bungalow, right? Because you're not
right.
going to find that at any other house. And that's what's special about bungalows, is that they have this cute little galley kitchen. So it's kind of like, you know, you just got to love what you have and cherish it and realize that if you want something like that, you know, 100 years ago, they designed different floor plans
yes.
for different people. So it's really just finding the old home. There are old homes that fit what you want. You just got to jump it up a notch or two.
You're darn right, Nicole. Hey, do you have time to hang with us for a little bit longer?
I do. I'm driving my dog around the city because she was being bored. She was getting ready to fly out, so...
Yeah,
exactly what I'm doing.
Cool. All right, good.
She's sitting here in the car.
Well, awesome. I'd love to open up the phone lines if you had a minute, and we'll have some folks who want to learn more about your book, Better Than New. And you're going to be coming to Chicago. You're coming to Evanston Sunday, October 23rd.
In a week, right?
Oh, yes. I can't wait. So it's from 1 to 3 p.m. at Cost Plus World Market at 1725 Maple Ave in Evanston. Great. I've shot there before. It's a great place. And then Nicole...
Oh. Cost Plus is amazing. I mean, I was, like, so excited when we did this program with them, but I have an 18-year-old that just got its first place, and I laugh because I have Salvation Army and garbage coffee tables in my house, and he has brand-new stuff.
Sweet. So, especially at Cost Plus is great stuff. All right, hold on. Nicole's going to hang out with us just for a little bit longer. I'll open up the phone line, 312-981-7200. You could text in your questions as well for Nicole Curtis, rehab addict and author of the new book, Better Than New. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. We're here until 3 o'clock. Right now, we're talking to rehab addict and author of the new book, Better Than New, Nicole Curtis. Hey, Nicole. Thanks for hanging.
Hey.
How's the dog holding up? Is the dog doing good?
Oh, my gosh. The dog is just, she's not going to New York with us this week, so I haven't told her yet. She's
going to
be very sad. So.
Oh, boy.
She usually
boy.
Travels with us, but... Yeah.
So, Nicole, we have a bunch of questions. We got text messages. We have callers. You open for some questions?
Sure.
All right. Let's go with. They're hard hitting. They're really hard hitting. Here we go with
okay.
The first one from the 818. Are you married?
Oh, no. Never.
No, never. What is that thing called marriage? All right.
You know what? My grandparents, my grandmother just passed away. They were married for 70 years. My grandfather is the greatest man in the entire world. Like, love, doted, honor. She did the same to him. And when you see that kind of example, I just have never been able to settle for anything that isn't that.
You know?
And maybe I'll find it when I'm like 75 and that'll be great, but I'm holding out.
Yeah.
I don't want anything less than the best.
I'm with you.
That one.
I'm with you. 75 is a good age to get married. I think
so too. And have kids, I heard. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, you could. With the miracle of science, that could happen.
Exactly.
And here's another from the 814. How many kids does Nicole have?
I have two.
Two. One is 16, you said?
No, one is 18. And one's a toddler. So,
oh, boy. Yeah. All right, let's see.
20-year stretch, my grandma called it.
Yeah, it's a good little break. It's a good little break in between to catch your breath, you know, from the first one. I got two little ones at home. I have a 2-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. It is a lot of work, but I love them to death.
Yes. Oh, I do too. And yes, It's definitely fun.
It is.
As a teenager. It has made having a child that's like moving out of your house and like becoming an adult is a very tragic thing for a mommy like me.
Yeah.
So this has helped me cope a lot.
That's good. All right, let's take a call. We have Gene from Hoffman Estates. Hey, Gene, you're on with Nicole Curtis. How you doing?
Hi. I've been wanting to ask Frank forever, and now that there's two of you, I would love to get the breadth of two opinions.
Let's do it.
I have been waiting and waiting for the stainless steel trend to go bye-bye. It's so cold. It's so uninviting, and I think we can blame, the yuppies or the Gen Xers or something who got the idea they wanted to live in a commercial kitchen. And I'm at the stage where I have to remodel my kitchen and eventually sell a house down the road in a few years. And I just detest the idea of going with stainless steel. I grew up in a supper club in Wisconsin, and I just feel like I'm back at work when I see stainless steel. And
They've
got the smudge proof, but that, I still don't want to look at it. And I don't like the black either, because that's not warm and inviting. And I just wondered if there's any clue of any hope for something different that has warm feelings and tones.
Nicole, you want to take a stab at that first?
Well, I would say this. Stainless steel really isn't a trend that we see in. It's become so generalized that everyone does it. But, I mean, just to let you know, if you want to spend $20,000 on appliances, you can get them in really great colors and designs of anything you want now. But, of course, obviously no one wants to do that. So I think right now that trend is always going to be what buyers want right now. And if you're looking to sell your home, unfortunately, you're just going to have to grin and bear that one and remember that you're selling your home. So that's
right.
How it goes. But, that's just one of those things right now. I'm really in love with the new professional line of white kitchens that they're doing. And I love using the classic lines too. So I have like a red stove in our house and things like that. So it's there for a while, just like granite, but know that, there are other options in the world. They just cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's, whatever is more readily available is going to be the cheapest.
Yeah. And Gene, Nicole hit it on the head because you're selling. Now, if you told me you weren't selling, I think we could both offer you a slew of options that exist out there. But I think because you're selling, you almost have to stay on trend a little bit, because the majority of buyers are looking for those key hits of the granite countertops or the stone countertops with the stainless. Mm-hmm. It's just purely a force of habit, I would believe. But I do, if you wanted something a little different and you're not going to sell right away, I could suggest, if your appliance package does allow it, or if you're going to buy a new appliance package, is a paneled appliance package, so it looks like it's part of the cabinetry. To me,
that would be better.
So it's not as offensive. And if you have a shaker style, you could create shaker style panels. You could have a carpenter do it, and they can assemble it. And so that would be my only, suggestion there, without killing yourself in the budget.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate hearing your opinions. Thank you.
You got it, Gene. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And folks of the Chicagoland area, you could get to meet Nicole Curtis coming up October 23rd right here in Evanston at Cost Plus World Market. She's signing and selling their – are they carrying the books there, correct?
Yes, they are.
Better Than New is the name of the book. And it's really not a design book, right? This is a book about – for me, it sounds like a motivational book more than anything, right, Nicole?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just – people always say, like, Nicole, how'd you get through that? And I'm like, well, they look at these houses and they're like, oh, my God, that's so beautiful. And, everyone's like, oh, I can do that, too. Or I flip homes. I'm like, well, that's not exactly what I do. So, the book is hitting stores, and we're also doing the second annual Burns-O-Matic Community Grants giveaway, too. That's hashtag Find Your Fire. And we're giving away $30,000 in community grants this year.
Nice.
Last year was awesome, and people never believe that we're really giving money away like that. So that's another fun thing I'm getting involved with. And
you're also you're involved with children, right, and cancer. You like to raise money for them as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've had, my head carpenter, Bobby, his daughter is 8 years old, and she's been battling stage 4 neuroblastoma.
Mm, sorry to hear
and,
that.
And it's horrible. So, when we do our open houses, people have always wanted to see my houses, and, they've tracked them down, they've stalked me, they've showed up. And finally I said, what if I just invite you here, but you got to give a $5 donation to get in? and people went gangbusters for it. And we've raised so much money for such great families.
That's
people
awesome.
Wait in, they make it a party. They wait in line for hours. You know, we just did, I never announce them ahead of time because we have such a huge turnout. So we always do it like the night before or 2 days before. And we still have people that, like, last time we did that, we had 500 people through in an hour and a half. So
that's great, Nicole.
We raise lots of money. And it's awesome because people don't realize that, you know, number one, cancer is horrible. But two, why, you know, people still have to pay their mortgage. They still have to pay their electric bill, their gas bill. So our money goes to, you know, helping those families put a little bit of dent in that, you know, big budget that they have to carry.
That's really sweet, Nicole. I love that you do that. And before you go, we have one last caller as a fan who would love to just say hi. Bonnie, you're on with Nicole Curtis and myself. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, am I? Oh, hi, Nicole. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Frank. Yeah.
Frank, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I'm Lucy.
And I'm hoping my rescue dog doesn't bark.
Okay.
Just really quick, I just wanted to thank you for giving us people with old bungalows. I live in a 1924 in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I've had it for 20 years and unfortunately haven't been able to afford to do too much, but I still love my home. And thank you for giving us permission to love our old houses.
Oh, that's real sweet.
Hey, if we don't love our old houses, who's going to love the old versions of us?
That's
right?
True.
That's right. And also, I had breast cancer, and I started watching your show during my recovery. And the very first show that I tuned in, you were redoing the cupboards that separate my living room and dining room.
Okay.
The bookcases or cases.
Yeah.
Well, I had them in the attic. And in the meantime, I had someone go up there and bring them down for me. And I, you know, just did a little painting while I was sick. But what a difference.
That's awesome. It's a great story,
awesome.
Bonnie.
Yeah. But my quick question was, it seems in my old neighborhood, and like I said, my house is 1924. Some of the homes have been foreclosed on, and couples, I'm in my 50s, and couples in their 50s who are retiring are buying them. But what they're doing, and I just wanted to get your opinion on this, is they're not using the attic. They're knocking down the ceilings and making these real high, like, lofts or ceilings.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Opening a ceiling isn't going to ruin my day as much as, like, opening a wall because it's kind of dead space anyhow. In my particular, all the bungalows I've done, have had such detailed plaster work and plaster design in the ceilings that I would never dream of that. But of course, you know, every single one's different. And the high ceilings, you know, it's not a look that I love, but it is one that could easily be undone, you know, in 20 years from now. If, like, I were to buy that house and restore it, that one isn't going to, you know, ruin my day like somebody ripping out, you know, a dining room buffet or something like that. So it's a little different. I don't like mixing different looks in that wouldn't have been in the era. It just kind of, it throws me off when I look at something. You know, my big house in Detroit, I always take the, you know, the third floors and I make a master suites because I love big old bedrooms. But I actually raised the ceiling in there because I had an attic in there too, but I did it in a way that you didn't know it. It kept the same original shape and everything, but I just brought it up. So, you know, it's like I said, there's different looks that I see, and I always look at it like, all right, well, if I were to buy that house and restore it, how much work would it be for me to put it back to the original? And opening up a ceiling to the attic is not the end all.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll accept that. How's that one, Bonnie?
Yeah, Bonnie unfortunately had to go, but that was an awesome answer. I think we just lost Nicole, too. Well, I want to thank Nicole Curtis for joining us. She was an amazing guest. Nicole, if you're still listening, thank you so much. It was real fun having you on the show. You can see Nicole right here. Well, I think she's calling us back here. We could say goodbye formally. We got her back on here?
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, that's okay. I was just saying goodbye without you, but since you're here.
I know. So thanks for having me on. We're heading to New York right now. The book is in stores on Tuesday, and you can order it online. You can go to my website. We just did a funny little video that shows you kind of behind the scenes and
awesome.
Some of our work with Tessa. But thanks for having me on. It was such a pleasure, and I hope to meet you when I'm in Chicago.
I would love to. Maybe we'll come down and see you. Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank. Bye-bye.
All right, you got it.